see everybody else having fun. They're old friends and stuff. So, like, Ezra has a buddy on his team. And his dad is a coach. And then that kid's little brother is Abel's team and is Abel's kindergarten class. So, like, you see the same family.
All right. Well, hey, good morning, Freedom Community Church. Good morning, good morning. Happy Sunday. Best day of the week, right? Best day of the week. We get to be here together and worship the Lord together. Yeah. Fellowship with Him and with each other. I feel like I haven't seen some of you in probably 7 days. I know. That's pretty bad, wasn't it? All right. Well, we want to start our time off in worship. So if you want to stand, feel free to do so, but you don't have to. But let's worship our King together.
The Lord Almighty. Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before you. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. Blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. So open up the gates, make way before the King. Is roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before you. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain for the sin of the world. His blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the Lion and the Lamb. the Lord Almighty. Who can stop the Lord Almighty? 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 Who can stop the Lord? Our God is a lion, the Lion of Judah. He's roaring with power and fighting our battles. Every knee will bow before you. Our God is a lamb, the lamb that was slain. For the sin of the world, his blood breaks the chains. Every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Oh, every knee will bow before the lion and the lamb. Oh,
Jesus, thank you that you are the Lion and the Lamb, the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega, Lord. Lord, we love you and we thank you and we're so grateful that we get to be here together, that we get to sing your praise, that we get to worship you and honor you. Lord, we love you. We can't even hope to thank you enough for everything that you've done for us, but we want to try. We want to keep on praising you. We want to keep on thanking you. We want to keep on worshiping you, Lord, and know that we get to do that forever. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. We look forward to what you're going to do today in your church. And we pray all these things in your name, in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I got into praying and forgot I was supposed to come up. Yeah, it just happens, you know. Good morning. Good to see you. A couple things again. Just remember, we have studies going on beyond the study we have on Sunday. We have men's, we have women's, we have small groups. They're all in your notes. Please make sure you're jumping in somewhere and getting plugged in with people and doing life together. Beyond that, we have a couple other things. Women, you have a six-week study again, Thursdays, 10 o'clock. And please check your bulletin for timing and location. You're in Psalm 78. You have a women's retreat in September. If you want to start making payments, you can do that now. You can just check in at the info table and make sure you get that all plugged in. Men, we have Man Camp. I love Man Camp, by the way. There's always bacon at Man Camp, by the way. And we will be meeting there May 12th through 14th. The 12th is a Thursday. If you can't make it Thursday, come Friday and Saturday. If you can't make it Friday or Thursday, Friday, come Saturday. We just want you to come up. You can sleep in a tent. You can sleep in your car. You can stay in a hotel and drive back. Whatever you want to do, not that far away. But, guys, we'd love to know you're coming. There's some special instruction on how to get into where we're at. It's a secluded area, privately owned. So make sure you get information, guys, on that. And then on June 10th, which is a little ways away, but not too far, we have the Golden Singles Luncheon. And somebody said, I'm not quite 65. Can I come? Yes. The answer is yes. We always do fellowship. Even when we do the love and respect or different marriage things, just like before we said, hey, you can come even if you're not married. You can always come. You're always invited. Come and enjoy the fun. Enjoy people. Fellowship together. It'll be great. But we do need you to sign up because we are feeding you. And if you show up and you haven't signed up, you're going to have to steal food off people's plate when they're talking to other people. And it gets awkward and you might get stabbed with a fork. So do sign up, so that we can avoid any injuries. All right. And then finally, we have the Mexico mission trip, and we're going to be sending a team. We've already got two there. We've got five more going. And I just want to take a minute. I want to focus on something that might be a little bit different here for just a second. So when we go down to Mexico, we're serving at an orphanage that cares for disabled kids. But those kids have kind of grown up, but they need round-the-clock care. This is going to be their life. So now they're kind of like young adults and adults. But it's the church who did this, right? So it started at Applegate Christian Fellowship. They planted this thing. They they built this amazing thing. Other churches have been involved. We've been involved. We've had the privilege of doing it. But there's students who come from around the country and care for these people who need 24-hour care. And it's the church being the church. And do you remember when we had the conversations about where the first hospitals came from in the United States? Who put those in place? The church. Schools? The church. Orphanages? The church. Who does it now? The government and the church. I want to give you a snapshot real quick before we spend some time praying. I want you to see that the church was the entity, and at one point, I think many of us have had this conversation that we've given it back over to the government to do. How well is the government doing? Okay, let's not answer that. I think God's giving us a blessing right now. He's collapsing government. And I want you to know that as he's collapsing government and he's collapsing the organizations, he's letting them implode. Parents are taking back responsibility for their children. As he's letting government, you can clap for that. Thank you, Jesus. And as he's letting government implode, I just want to give you a snapshot into what that looks like. I've had the opportunity in the last 3 weeks to speak at three different gatherings of pastors, missionaries, and chaplains. I got to go to Beaverton, do a thing on Beaverton Foursquare this last week. It was in Aurora the week before. Got to do a podcast with 56 different nations who are all missionaries looking for self-care and how to care for people when there are no pieces there inside of those organizations. And yesterday when I was at Beaverton Foursquare, I was the last speaker, but I got to listen to the other speakers. And as I was hearing them, many of them had worked for agencies before, and then either the funding went away or the agency fell apart. And because they were believers, they went back into their church and set up these institutions. And the institutions now are serving like the church did when it planted all these things. And I'm watching how they're replacing the work of government. I'm like, thank you, Jesus, for letting our government implode. Because as he's doing it, guess what he's doing for the church? He's saying, would you stand up and take the place that you had before? Where real ministry happens, where the gospel comes in along with those things that we do to meet people's basic needs. And I got to be the last speaker and I got to stand up and say, do you see that? Do you see what just happened here? Did you hear everything that's going on from all these Christian groups who are caring for the homeless, who are caring for children who are having difficulties, who are working in the places where people don't have the finances and funds and are feeding them, who are meeting them in trauma and crisis and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ while they love on them in certain ways. I said, look, the church is at a moment where we've been praying for revival, and it's going to look a little different right now, I think. But what it's going to mean is each one of us has to get up, and we have to go where Jesus is calling us, and not find an excuse as to why we're too busy to do it. It means it's a call for every one of us to say, Lord, where do you want to use me? How do you want me to do this? Because more and more people are coming back to the church. You go to disasters, who's there cleaning it up? The church. You go to a war zone, go to Poland, who's there? The church. Folks, I pray God is stirring in your hearts by the power of his spirit to lead you in the place where you can be a part of what's going on. And I know many of you are, but some of you might not be. And so this team going to Mexico, it's that picture of God calling the church to love people till they ask why. And to prepare to tell them why. In season and out of season, to tell them this is the love of Jesus Christ that compels me to come and serve you. And I hope you're excited. I'm super excited. I've been watching this trend shifting, and I'm like, Lord, let it all come down. Let it all come down that your name may be raised in every place, in every situation. So I want to ask the people who are going to Mexico, if you would just stand up where you're at. I know some of you are probably here. Some are not here today. That's all right. You can, if you would just lay your hands on them if you're around them. Touch them, not on their throat, preferably. Okay, so if you have an issue, that's not the way to do it. Well, we're just going to pray here for them for a minute, and you can pray out loud, but if you're going to pray out loud, will you really pray out loud so everybody can hear you and they don't interrupt you? And while we're doing it, I'm going to close this out then praying for the church to be the church. Let's pray.
Step forward to reach out in the mission field.
Yeah.
Bring forth your name and your glory.
Yes.
They're so anxious to be taught and so anxious to be filled up that, Father, I just pray that you speak into Pastor Rob and let them hear what it is that you want to hear. Maybe not the plan that is going down there, but the plan that you have for them. Because I know they're all anxious and waiting, and they're excited. The atmosphere is excitement down there. And the kids or young adults, or adults at the mission, I just pray extra blessings on them. Please keep our hands and our feet and our tools and everything that, all the dangerous or the, even the not so dangerous, simple fighters away from the entire group, and help them to stay safe.
Given a purpose to have so much to teach them. They have so much to show them, Lord. You are going to do a work in our missionaries. You are doing a work for them as well, Lord. Don't let them, you know, with this mentality of like, we're going to go do this for them, but we're going to go and we're going to receive just as much. Lord Jesus, open their hearts so that they can come back different. And more filled than they went.
Lord, thank you for this time that we get to go and to serve in our neighborhood, in our county, in our nation, and beyond. And we're just so grateful, Lord, that you would allow broken people made whole by you, filled by you, loved by you, to go and be an expression of that love for other people. And we just want to thank you, God. We want to thank you for opportunities. We want to thank you for the way that you do the work by the power of your Spirit in us. And so we ask again for everybody in this room, not just the missionaries, that you would fill us again. Fill us again with your Spirit, Lord, that we might be able to operate in your power, not in our own. We have nothing to offer in that way. And we just thank you and we praise you and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hey, so now we're going to move into another time of prayer here real quickly, because prayer is what we do as a church. Can I just say how privileged I am to be a member of a church that prays together? Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I, again, have listened to so many pastors say, yeah, we've tried a prayer team, and we have three ladies over the age of 70 who show up. And then people will break up into groups and pray, and half of them head for the door. I just got to tell you, It blesses my heart because I know it blesses the Lord's heart that we pray together. So let's just join and continue in that time of prayer. Lord Jesus, we want to thank you for the place that we're at in time. I think, God, if we were to able to give our whole wish list in our flesh of what we'd want, it would look like a lot of what people have been praying for the last year and a half or so. And Father, we want to pay attention to what you're doing in the Spirit, what you're doing and what you're allowing. Sometimes you're not the one doing it, you're just allowing it to happen according to what your word says about how things will be before you come again and before the church is taken out of here. And I'm just watching the setup and all the things that are moving. And Lord, we do want to pray for our nation. But Lord, what we want to pray is for revival in our nation. We want to pray that the church would be the church, that they would be led by you. Lord, would you begin to loosen anything that is encumbering us that is not of you? And there are so many things like that in the world, Lord. We know we need to work. The word makes it clear. We need to provide. The word makes it clear. We need to love our families. And we certainly, Lord, enjoy these things. We need these things. But there's a point, Lord, where we can go past the work hours that you've called us to work, past and into distractions with things of the family that might be even more than what we should be doing, like sitting and watching TV or just not getting engaged with our family in your work. And Lord, so as we pray for the nation, we want the change to happen first in us. And we're praying, Father God, that you would move by the power of your Holy Spirit in equipping your church and sending them. Send us. Lord, use us. Help us, Lord, to figure out where we're investing that is eternal and not temporal. And so we want to pray for that. And we want to pray, while we're praying for that, also for the leaders of our nation. And Lord, we know that sometimes we need to pray that you would stop the work of some leaders. But maybe at this time, Lord, what we're asking is that you would just restrain things from moving forward until you call the church out. Because you have said to us that we are being used by you as a restraining force of evil in the world. And so we ask that you would restrain some of the things that are happening, waiting, giving us a little season, unless you need to let those things burst forth that the church will fill the gap. And we don't know, Lord, so we just surrender. But we pray for those same leaders, even if you have to stop them, that you would bring them to a place on their knees where they would cry out to you. We do want them to come to salvation. We do want them to know you, Lord. We do want them to turn and repent. We don't know who will and who will not, but our heart is that they would. So, Lord, as we pray for our nation, our place in this nation right now, for the leaders of our nation, we want to ask that you would teach us how to pray as we sit here and just talk with you for a moment about these things. Lord, I think of how you have said that some vessels are made for honor and some for dishonor, like Pharaoh. And you used his disobedience as a way to let your power and your desire to deliver your people be known. And even as we pray right now, Lord, we know that your desire is that all would come to salvation, but you also know that there are some who will not, and you will use them as vessels of dishonor for that very same message for the whole world today, that some will come to you as they see you're working in both sides of the equation. And we do want to pray for revival right now in our nation, however you want to do it, however you would work it out. And Lord, we just want to take a minute and pray for whoever you place on our mind who needs to come into salvation, and for a move in our nation starting right here in Battleground, Washington, moving out from this place. And we pray. And Lord, we want to pray now for the peace of Jerusalem. We're watching so many things take place there on the Temple Mount, riots and difficulty and animosity and all kinds of troubles. And we know, Lord, that there is a temporary peace, a day-to-day peace, maybe an hour-to-hour peace. And we do desire that for our brothers and sisters, that they might find you. But we know that even in the middle of conflict, the greatest peace of all, a permanent peace, is to realize that you are their Messiah. Speak to their hearts, Lord, to the Jewish people, to those who identify themselves as Palestinians, to other groups of people who would be there in Jerusalem. Lord, let yourself be known. Open the eyes of the blind, those who spiritually just have chosen not to see or can't see. Father, let yourself be known. Let peace really come there in the knowledge that you are Messiah and that they would receive you. And then, Lord, obviously we're praying for the peace that will come when you establish your kingdom there forever. So we pray now as you lead us for the peace of Jerusalem. And Lord, we want to take a moment and pray for the persecuted church, our brothers and sisters who love you and who are willing to die to live, who are willing to lay down this temporal body in order to glorify you, to speak about you, to witness to you in their faith and in the way they would speak about the love that you've had for them, saying, how could I possibly deny the one who has saved me from my sin? And we pray for the families of the persecuted. We pray for the persecutors. We pray, Father, that all these things would lead to salvation. Temporal salvation right now for those who are suffering, who might be imprisoned, who might be going through difficulties beyond our imagination for many of us. But more so even of eternal salvation. And we just ask that you would lead us now as we pray for our persecuted brothers and sisters and their families and those who would persecute them. Lord, we would just want to give you thanks for a minute. We just want to take a minute in each one of us, just kind of roll through the week and see all the places that you have been, all the places you have shown up, that you've prepared us for, that you'd ministered to us in. And Lord, we just want to take a moment, personally, each one of us, and give you thanks. Lord, I think in that last column, we could go on and on and on because we have seen the evidence of your goodness. It's everywhere. And we just want to praise you. We want to give you all glory and thanks for coming together and being able to share together, for you walking in the midst of this congregation and in all the other places where the word is preached and your people come together and rightly have a relationship with you. We just praise you, God. And we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Let's go ahead and rise up and talk to somebody. Tell them about your week. Ask them if they can pay your gas bill. Say hello. And then we'll come back. But when you hear the music, hey, can I ask one more thing? When you hear the music play, though, would you like abruptly stop your conversation? Because sometimes those conversations, they interrupt people who are entering into a place of worship with the Lord. So let's do that. Get up in fellowship. But when the music starts, just cut it off. Let's do it. Thank you.
All right. Well, let's come back to a time of worship. We want to continue our time worshiping our King today. Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love, destined to die, poured out for all mankind. God's only Son, perfect and spotless one. Sin suffered as if he did. All authority, every victory is yours. The blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, everyone overcome. We will overcome by the blood. Testimony, everyone over.
worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise. You overcame. Jesus, awesome in power forever, awesome and great is your name. You overcame, you overcame, you overcame.
Hallelujah, you're my portion,
portion, my salvation.
You stood before creation, eternity in your hand. You spoke the earth into motion, my soul now to stand. You stood before my failure, carried the cross for my shame. Sin weighed upon your shoulders, my soul now to stand. So what can I say? What could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart of God, be there to you. So what could I say? What could I do? But offer this heart, oh God, to be there to you.
Together as we sing this.
So I'll stand with arms high and heart abandoned in awe of the one who gave it all. And I'll stand, my soul, Lord, to you surrendered all. What could I do? Offer this heart, oh God, completely.
Amen, Jesus. That's what we want to do. We want to offer our hearts to you. We want to give you thanks and praise, Jesus. Thank you for everything. Thank you that we can stand here in your presence, that we can sing to you, that we can pour out our hearts to you, Lord. That's truly what we want to do. It's not just words. We want to give you our hearts. And so we thank you for the opportunity to do just that, Lord, to give you our hearts. We praise you, Lord. We thank you. And as we turn our attentions now to your word, pray that you would open our ears so that we could hear, that you would open our eyes, you would open our hearts, Lord, that your word would sink deep into them, that they would, your words would change us, Lord, and make us more like you. We praise you, Jesus, and we thank you, and pray these things in that mighty and matchless name, the name of our King and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, this morning we have a special guest with us here today, and he's been around a couple of times. I mean, he looks familiar anyway. If you've been around for a while, you know Scott, and Scott's going to come and share the word with us this morning. So I was asked to give an introduction. So Scott, everybody good? We're all up to speed now? All right, come on up, Scott. Thank you.
You? That's you?
Good morning.
So glad to be back. Seems like I was just here. It's awesome. Did somebody pray about spiders?
Yes.
Did I hear that?
Against spiders.
Yes, exactly. I just want to say amen to that prayer, to all spiders everywhere. One year when we were at the mission, there was a plague, like in the days of Moses. It wasn't locusts, however. It was tarantulas. So take that happy thought with you to Mexico, those who are going. Man, I remember driving down the road, looking in the rear, you know, you'd see these, they're going across the street, and then you'd look behind you and there'd be flat ones and then the ones that were walking, you know, squish, 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 and then the other ones are, anyway. Yeah, that was not good. Sure, glad to be here with you. Want to get into the Word of God. You can turn to Hebrews chapter 11 if you would. And let's pray. Lord, I do know, as Rob said, that it pleases your heart when the church prays, when your church, your people, come before you, and whether it's asking for needs or giving you thanks, Lord, prayer in and of itself is an act of faith, because we know you are on the other end listening, and that you do, Lord, answer the prayers of your people. So we thank you for that. We thank you for your word this morning and pray that it would, in fact, accomplish the purpose for which it is sent. We thank you for the opportunity to gather freely, and we pray your blessing in our time this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How is your adventure of faith going? I've been thinking about this myself for the last couple of weeks, seeking the Lord and just praying through this whole idea of faith and asking the Lord what he might have for me next, for my wife and I, and that doesn't mean necessarily a big thing, could be a small thing. But I want to live a life of faith. We're called to live a life of faith. And I think it is on us to find the way of faith in our daily life. Certainly, faith is important. The word says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, that's a pretty big statement. It's in the top three, you know, faith, love, and hope. It's a biggie, this thing called faith. And the word warns us that in the last days, faith is going to wane, even amongst the church. In fact, Jesus laments. Very sobering statement, and I've been considering it. We're not going to get into it this morning, but he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith in the earth? These days are, you know, really shaking the tree. And some will dig deeper and some will fall away. I mean, it's just the way it is, and it's the way the Bible describes the last days. You can check out any number of passages in Scripture. So, for me, then, I don't want to be a waner. I want to be one moving forward in faith, and I want to continue to check in with my Savior to make sure that I am where I'm supposed to be. So this consideration of faith for me brought me to a realization, or maybe just a clarification concerning faith, because I see that there are four different expressions of faith in Scripture. Now, I don't mean different kinds of faith. There's only one faith, the word pistis in the Greek. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. It's all the same faith. But I do think that it fleshes itself out in our lives in different ways. And we're familiar with these ways, I believe. And if not, I think it's worthy of considering. And again, in my own personal immediate journey, these things have been important to me. So let's begin by considering these four different expressions. If I say kinds of faith, please correct that in your head, because that's not what I'm talking about. But number one is the faith by which we come into salvation. That saving faith, if you would. Having said that, we have to be kind of careful using the phrase that way, because our faith doesn't save us, does it? For by grace you have been saved through faith. What saves us? The grace of God, extended to us through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, right? But in believing in that, then we have now access to that grace. So the first of these four expressions of faith is this saving faith. Now that is no small thing. That is no small thing. For a person to be born again by the power of Jesus Christ is a miracle. It's amazing. It's phenomenal that you go from death to life. You go from damnation to reconciliation, right? You go from doom to a future and a hope. We're changed. It's an amazing thing. So though we begin with this faith that saves, or the faith that brings us into salvation, it is not a minimal thing. In fact, it's an amazing thing. And I pray that all of you who are here this morning have opened your heart to the Lord, have given him access to your life, and that you have come to that place of being part of his family. And if not, today is the best day to make that decision, to be sure. So number one is the faith by which we come into salvation. Number two is what I'm calling walking around faith. Walking around faith. The word says in Hebrews, in fact, I said 11, but if you back up just two verses, you will see In verse 38 of chapter 10, it says, "My righteous one shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith." The just shall live by faith. That phrase is repeated in Galatians and in Romans, and they all are quoting Habakkuk. The just shall live by faith. So faith is not only the conduit through which we come to salvation, it is also the mode in which we're to live our life as a follower of Christ. The just shall live by faith. And I would just point out, as a point of clarification, it doesn't say might live by faith or should live by faith or kind of occasionally live by faith. It's that we shall live by faith. It is the intended mode of operation for us as followers of Jesus Christ. We are to walk a life of faith every day. It's to be our mode of transportation through this life. Well, look at Hebrews verse 4, and we'll see a practical example here from the Heroes of Faith chapter. It says in verse 4 of 11, "By faith, Abel offered to God a more acceptable sacrifice than Cain, through which he was commended as righteous, God commending him by accepting his gifts. And through his faith, though he died, he still speaks." Now, the reason why I refer to that as walking around faith, or the just shall live by faith, is the implication is it must be true that God gave Cain and Abel and Adam and Eve some sort of instruction regarding offerings. Doesn't that make sense to you? It does to me, because Abel knew what he was supposed to do. Cain did too, but he didn't do it. The offering was to be from the flock. Abel offered from the flock, but Cain offered, you will recall, of course, from the field. And he was judged for that. So there was some instruction there. Abel was simply doing what the Word of God instructed him to do. And that is how we're to live our life. Following God's Word. Day in, day out. What does God say on this matter? How does this work out practically? Well, You're a follower of Jesus Christ. You've experienced these things. But let me just give you an example, because it kind of relates to an incident that happened to me, a week ago, and then culminated this past week. In Matthew chapter 6 and the great Sermon on the Mount there, Jesus says that we should be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. And it goes on to explain why. Any of you ever get anxious? I do. But Jesus said, don't be anxious. So if Jesus said, this is my simple way to look at the Word of God. If Jesus said, don't be anxious, then it must be possible to not be anxious. Amen? Do we at least agree with that? That it's possible, because Jesus said, don't be. That would be really mean if he said, don't be anxious, but good luck with that. No, there's a way to not be anxious. Apparently, because Jesus said, don't be anxious. So, when I become anxious, I can claim that truth. I can stand on the Word of God. Jesus said, don't be anxious. So, and I'm not saying that there's one, overreaching way to accomplish this other than seeking Jesus and saying, Lord, I'm anxious and I'm not supposed to be. I know I'm not, because you said I shouldn't be. So help me deal with that. And that's a prayer of faith. Amen. I believe that Jesus said that, and I believe he has the resources to get me from where I am to where I need to be. And that is the life of faith. And over, you can just read your Bible, as we should, as we do. Believe the Bible, as we should and as we do. And then do what it says. day in and day out. Now, that's going to require faith because the world around us doesn't work like that. But it's the way to live. The just shall live by faith. So I had an opportunity to work my way through this very kind of situation. I'm a general contractor. I at least play one on TV. And we had this job that was wrapping up. It was a couple of bathrooms. Ray was telling me, guys were telling me about their bathroom job. They're two bathrooms and they're in the same house, and they were really nice bathrooms. And it took us a couple of months to do the work, you know, on tile and glass and all this. They turned out really nice, except that we got right down to the very end, and the homeowner had made a decision that was a really bad one. And though we tried to convince him otherwise, that's the way it turned out. And so when he saw what he wanted actually in place, he kind of went sideways and said, that doesn't work like that. It doesn't. How come it looks like that? And I, well, we put it in like you said, you know, which he didn't even disagree about. He didn't even disagree. But he had been an absolutely awesome customer. Now, not that that should make any difference, honestly, but he was. He was a great guy. His wife was awesome. They were great customers. And so my partner and I were talking about how we're going to get to the finish line, because we were like on the one-yard line. We were done. In fact, we were done. That last little bit of work was from a subcontractor. All we had to do was check it off, and we're out of there. So we're talking about this, and you just get that sense, we're going to end up paying for this. We're going to end up paying for this. And so I, being the mature spiritual person, kind of went off a little bit. I go, that's not right, and the customer's always right. That's a bunch of hooey and blah, you know. You wouldn't have wanted to be there. So anyway, I was like that for a weekend. Not great way to spend your weekend. But then, here I am, the man of faith, praying about faith, studying faith, and I finally realized, oh yeah, don't be anxious. So I just gave the whole thing to the Lord. I said, you know, it's your money anyway, Lord. So let's just, and we were already, my partner and I were already committed. We were going to make sure that the customer ends up happy with us regardless of what happened. I mean, we were committed to that. We were just looking at having to pay a gigantic bill. So anyway, the long and the short, I'm taking way too much time to explain this story. But as soon as I prayed, the anxiety went away. It just went, shoot. Now, I did not know what the outcome of that story was yet. It wasn't over. But the anxiety was gone, and it was surrendered to the Lord. That's his problem. Right now, it's his problem. It's not even my problem. So anyway, over the next few days, we went back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And the long and the short of it is, we did end up paying, but only a small portion, and it was funny. So we're dealing with the supplier. I'm sorry, we're getting way in the weeds, but just let me, I'm so close, just let me finish it now. Okay, so I'm talking with the supplier, and I find out that the repair, the fix, is much less than I thought. In fact, it was like $1,000. Okay, so I'm talking to her, I go, well, that's a no-brainer. We'll take care of that. So I actually set the ball in motion, and then I talked to my partner, and I said, well, it's going to be $1,000. He goes, oh, that's a no-brainer. Awesome. So it all got worked out. We're happy as clams, because that's a small price to pay for a gigantic job for a customer that you value, and you can keep your testimony, and you can keep your reputation, and all the rest, and thank you, Jesus. But it could have come out a different way. And I would have to have been, and I pray that I would have been, just as okay. The point is, the Lord had taken the anxiety with me with the prayer. The anxiety went with the prayer. The just shall live by faith. And every single day we have opportunity to do what the Word says. And when we do what the word says, that is the walk of faith. So it's not just coming into salvation, that faith. It's also the day-to-day-to-day walk of faith. That's number two. Number three, look at verse 8 in chapter 11. It says, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Abraham went out to a place that he didn't know. He was told by the Lord to go to the land of Canaan. He didn't know where that was. He just said, God said, get up and go. And then he found out where he was going. So this third type of faith, This third expression of faith is going without knowing. Going without knowing. It's not just your day-to-day-to-day walking around. Now, you can see that there is some overlap, because I didn't know how that situation I just 87 minutes to tell you about. I didn't know how that was going to work out either. But this is where God specifically says, I want you to do this. And you don't know the outcome of it. This is going without knowing. And this is where the term blind faith comes from. Now, it's funny, Rob said, hey, you got a haircut. I did yesterday morning. And I went in and I sat down in the chair and the gal said, can you remove my glasses? And I said, well, then I can't see if you mess up my hair. And she said, well, it's blind faith. Did you know what I'm going to teach on tomorrow? Just funny. So blind faith is not a particularly great phrase, but there is a truth to it. So let me explain that to you real quickly. Faith is not a kind of a fatalistic flinging yourself into the unknown. Okay, well, here I go, and you just heave yourself into the unknown. That is not what faith is. Faith is actually an absolute confidence in the one who called you to take that step. It really has little to do with the step. It has everything to do with the one who called us into that step of faith. Look at verse 1. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. So that step of faith, it's not just flinging yourself. It's confidence in the one who has called you to take the step. Confidence in Christ. That's what it's about. It's about confidence in Christ. And in every step, we can always see Jesus. It's not blind. You can always see Jesus. Because in Hebrews 12, verse 2, it says, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. Which means that he is the trailblazer of our faith. In other words, wherever he's calling you to go, he's already there. So every step of faith is a walk toward Jesus. Amen? Every step of faith is a walk toward Jesus. It's not blind. Jesus is there. Now, having said that, back to verse 1, it's a conviction of things not seen. Which is what we're told Abraham did. He went not knowing where he was going. If I know where I'm going, it's called sight, not faith. That's not a bad thing. It's just not faith. We're to walk by faith and not by sight. Amen? That's even in the Bible, you know. So if I know where I'm going, it's not bad, it's just not faith. If I have planned for every contingency and made every possible accommodation for my landing spot, that's not called faith, that's called planning. Now, in a step of faith that might require planning, I'm not saying planning is a bad thing, I'm just saying planning and faith are two different things. And faith requires, by its definition, that you don't know the outcome. You don't know what is on the other side. You don't know what's going to happen when your foot lands in that step of faith. We don't know. By definition, we don't know. And I emphasize that because I think a lot of times we fool ourselves into thinking we're taking a step of faith when actually we're just executing a plan. We're fooling ourselves into thinking it's a step of faith, but really it's a plan that we made, and we're calling it faith. Now, that doesn't mean it's outside of God's will. That doesn't mean it's a bad thing. It's just not faith. You tracking with me? There's a difference. And we're called to live lives of faith. Faith. To walk and to step and to go not knowing what is ahead, what is out there, what's waiting for us. He went not knowing. And this can be, for us, a bit of a trap. Now, there's something really interesting, and you're getting this free, no extra charge. As you see, I'm actually moving my notes because it's covering the text I want to read because I'm adding this in right now. So here's the, you don't mind being here till 12 or, oh, 12. That's not even a problem. Don't worry about that, no. Okay. So those of you who have prayed, and I hope this is all of you, have taken a step of faith, have moved out when the Lord said go, there's a really trippy thing here for Abraham. And try to put yourself in his sandals for a minute and think through this, because this is trippy. For those who desire to walk by faith, this is like the master class. Okay, you guys know that Abraham was in Ur of the Chaldees, right? And he was called out. And that's that part that's being described there in verse 8. He's called out of that to go to a place that God would show him, not knowing where that was. And at that time, he was told that he would be the father of many nations, more than the stars in the heavens and the sands on the sea, right? He would be the father of a nation, and yet he was not only childless, but past the age of bearing children, as was his wife, Sarai, at the time. But God made him a promise that through him physically, personally, he would be the father of many nations. And God fulfilled that promise, didn't he? In the person of who? Isaac. Isaac, his son. So there is standing Isaac at whatever age these things took place. There's his son Isaac, who is the fulfillment of God's promise, an amazing miracle to Abraham. And then God says to him, by faith, he was tested when he offered up Isaac. So then God says, take your son, your only son, to a mountain I will show you and offer him there as a sacrifice. What? Again, try to put yourself in that place. Okay, explain this to me, Lord. This is the fulfillment of your promise, and now you're saying, go kill him. I would have to pray about that. I would have to pray about, I would have to really know, Lord, that is, wow. But he did it. And it goes on to say about Abraham, it says, and he who had received the promise was in the act of offering up his only son, of whom it was said, through Isaac shall your offspring be named. God told Abraham, this boy, he's the one who's going to bring in all the rest of them, but I want you to kill him. You think that'd be hard? I think that'd be hard. Not, I mean, the killing part would be hard, but trying to sort through, did God actually say that? Did God actually wants me? You remember who Isaac is, right, Lord? Because this is going to really mess stuff up. But he does it, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this. I was just thinking through this and going, man, I've prayed many times about the Lord's will and seeking him concerning steps of faith and directions for our family and ministry stuff and all that. And I'm putting myself, I go, man, that would take some prayer and fasting to sort that one through, because this seems like a contradiction to what he already told Abraham. It seems to be that. But Abraham works his way through it. He considered that God was able even to raise him from the dead, from which, figuratively speaking, he did receive him back. Abraham processed it. Well, I know what God said, and I know what God is saying, so somehow God's got this worked out. It doesn't make sense to me. You ever been there with the Lord? This doesn't make sense to me? Well, it didn't make sense to Abraham either. It couldn't have initially. But he got to a place where he realized, well, I guess the Lord's going to bring him back from the dead or something. And he did, figuratively speaking. So that step of faith, that is when God instructs you to move out, says, I want you to go from here to there. Or I want you to go over and talk to that person. Well, I don't know what's going to happen when I talk to that person. Well, that's why it's called faith. Or I want you to show up for this or that. Well, I don't know what they're going to make me do. That's why it's called faith. If the Lord's calling you to do it, then just go and trust and watch. Because, you know, the Lord is pretty awesome. He is pretty awesome. So there's the faith that brings us into salvation. There's the walk around faith, the just shall live by faith. And there is the going without knowing. I wish I were left-handed right now. Kind of faith. So there's three that I see. And then there's a fourth one. The fourth one might be a subset of going without knowing. I don't know how to divide all that up. I just see a fourth expression of faith in Scripture. In this particular type of faith, I'll call it let's see faith. Let's see faith. Rather than being in response to a command that God has given us, it actually seems to be something in my heart I want to do. It's something in my heart I want to do. Now, the reason why I say it may overlap God's command and so forth is, you know, the psalmist says that he will give you the desires of your heart. I think you can read that two ways, and I think both are correct. I think he fulfills your desires, your true desires, after they've been offered to the Lord. He gives you the desires. He gives you what you desire. I also think it means he gives you the desire. He puts the desire in you. He puts that desire in you. Why do you want to do the things you want to do and no one else seems to want to? Because he gave you that desire. That's why. So, though it's not a command, it seems to come from within. It seems to come from something that is within us. And you see that in a couple of places that are extremely familiar. One is Jonathan and his armor bearer. You guys know that story. They're fighting the Philistines. They're at the bottom of a cliff. And Jonathan says, let's jump out and see what will happen. For it's nothing for the Lord to save by many or by few. God didn't say, Joshua or Jonathan, I want you to jump out there and show everybody where you are and then I'm going to win the battle. He didn't say, there were no instruction given to Jonathan. It was in Jonathan's heart. And yet he scaled that cliff and wiped out the Philistines. And we marvel at his act of faith and his courage and so forth. But it was in him. And this is the let's see faith. I'll give you another example, one I know everyone is familiar with, and that's David and Goliath. You know what David's job was? You do. He was a shepherd. And you know, shepherds were like the worst. They're like the lowest job you could get. It'd be the worst. I don't even know what it would relate to these days here in our culture. But being the shepherd was the worst job. And of course, he was the youngest of the boys. And so he got the worst job. But it turns out he was a really, really, really good shepherd. A really good shepherd. When Jesse called for the boys to come and finally included David, he was searching for the next king of Israel. And he anointed David. Pardon me, but there is no hint or indication whatsoever that David knew what it meant at all. And he just went back to herding sheep. He got anointed. He probably went away going, my hair's all sticky. I got to wash it tonight. I don't even know what happened there. Don't even like my brothers. No, that's not true. He did. He left. And then his dad, Jesse, calls him and says, hey, I want you to take some grilled cheese sandwiches out to your brothers. So he takes lunch, or at least gets to the battle with their lunch. And the whole commotion starts. You guys know the story. And he's going through the soldiers and saying, what's going on here? And who's that guy yelling? And they tell him what the scoop is. And he said, well, give me a rock or give me a... I'll go beat him. It was in his heart. There was no command.
David.
Yes, Lord.
I want you to go kill the biggest guy in the country. Okay, Lord.
There was none of that. There was no command. There was no instruction, no direction from the Lord. It was in David's heart. I've killed the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine is nothing. And then you hear this little sermonette that he gives to Goliath. And Goliath says, you're puny and I'm going to feed your flesh. And David says, basically, to character or paraphrase, he says, you got one big problem and it ain't me, Goliath. Your battle's not with me. The rest is history. But that was not a command. That was the desire of his heart. He got there and was filled with passion to take out this guy that was defying Israel's God. That is rarefied air. Being in that place, I think, is unique. It's unusual. I don't think, frankly, that most believers go there. But we can. We can. What's on your heart? What's on your heart? And I was thinking back through, and this is really where my whole thought process began concerning faith and so forth. I was thinking back through my own walk and those different points in my life where I had opportunity to do this let's see kind of faith thing. And they have been the most epic crossroads in my life. Every time I came to one of those, it sent me on a journey that was completely unanticipated and amazingly awesome. Now, they don't happen every day. This isn't walk around faith. These are unique instances or times in our life. There might be one, there might be a few. A time in your life when there's a stirring, there's a passion. You know, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And you were fearfully and wonderfully made. You guys know all these verses. You are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for works that were prepared before the foundations of the earth. Each of us is uniquely gifted and qualified in the sense that God's called us to fulfill His missions. What's on your heart? And so I was thinking through these things and how those epic points in my life, and I just crave that again. And I'm 63, and I'm going, I am not going down quietly. I am not going down quietly. Remember Asa, the Old Testament? He did really great till the very end of his life. Then he got disease in his feet and he croaked. Remember his story? I don't want to be that guy who just stops walking and dies. We're not done yet. We're not dead yet. And I want a couple more trips around the tabernacle. I want to continue to press on into what the Lord is doing. And as Rob was mentioning, it looks like there's going to be plenty to do. Isn't there always plenty to do? So I would, I guess, challenge you to pray. Say, well, the Lord's never asked me to do anything. Ask harder. Ask harder. It's not true. It is not true. If that's what you think, it's not true. Ask harder. The Lord has work for us to do. And I'm wondering if this morning might serve as an encouragement to you as it is to me to seek the Lord concerning what He would have me do. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what that would look like. Some of the stuff that He's asked me to do is crazy. Crazy stuff. Many of you know my wife. I have taken her to the ends of the earth. And she has been there to support me and be with me. And she is the definition of a helpmate. It's been a journey. And it hasn't always been easy. Especially on her. Because guess what? It was my passion. It wasn't hers necessarily. But the Lord's not done. So I'm taking stock of where I am and considering how settled I've become. And I'm seeking the Lord concerning whether or not He might have something cooking for me. I don't want to be one of those the Word warns us about. One whose faith becomes cold, whose walk becomes dull, whose prayer becomes uninspired. I want to be one who can say with Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will reward me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have loved His appearing. Yes, we came into our relationship with Jesus Christ through faith. And He has called us day by day to walk by faith. Obey His word. Obey His word. Then there are times where He calls us and He says, I want you to do such and such. May we be those who respond and say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. And then finally, there are those few times in life where you have something in your heart, a passion, a desire, a calling, if you want to call it that. And you seek the Lord, and there, and then, dare to do something great for God. Amen? Dare to do something great for God. Let's pray. Lord, we pray because we know you hear us, and we thank you for that. That the God of gods would want to speak to us or listen to us is a miracle all unto itself. I pray, Lord, that you would stir us up in our most holy faith, that we'd be obedient to your calling, obedient to your word. And Lord, if anybody is hearing the lie that they are not useful or usable, that their moment is past or it's too late, Lord, I pray that you would rebuke that and not allow us to use those things as excuses. But Lord, just to seek you with an open heart and a willing heart and say, here I am, Lord, send me. Pray your blessing on this church body. I know it's been a tough week of ministry. I thank you for the way this church serves the community. And I pray for those going to the mission as well. I know what a huge blessing it is when teams come down. So I pray your blessing upon those who go. And I know, Lord, you will bless them manyfold for taking the time to do that. We just commit our lives to you, Jesus, and we thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, buddy. We're just gonna close a little differently here today. So here's what I want to do. I want you to realize that the Lord has given us all we need to live this life. And the Holy Spirit indwelling us and filling us and equipping us and speaking to us that the Lord Jesus might put us in the place that we need to be is important. If you need to come up for prayer, have somebody pray over you for salvation because you don't know Jesus, come up and do it. If you want to come up and pray to receive a calling from the Lord of where to go or to walk out in faith by your heart, whatever's in there, come up and do that. The rest of you, this is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm just going to pray for you. And I'd like you to sit here and talk with the Lord as long as you'd like to. So if you're going to have a conversation beyond prayer here or prayer in your seat, take it out in the foyer, away from the door. And the rest of you, I just want to invite you to stay here as long as you want and just meditate on what God has said. Ask the Lord where to go. And when you're done, you can get up and you can quietly leave and let everybody else just stay here in this place with the Lord until he answers. So I'm going to pray over you, and then I'm just going to ask the prayer people who want to come up here and pray with people, come be sensitive. We won't have any music. I just want you to be able to be with the Lord and hear from the Lord. Let me pray and then leave when you're ready. Lord Jesus, thank you for the word that Scott brought today. I know it's anointed by you. I know it's from you, God. And we really do just want to meet with you. We want to hear from you. We want to serve you, Lord. We know that what you have for us in the future is so amazing. We're so looking forward to the day that we will see that scene in Revelation 4 and 5, that we will see the things that we hear about in Revelation 20 verses 1 through 6 and then 21 and 22. We're filled with anticipation, but Lord, we're equally excited today about where you would send us, that we might see your work and the way that it changes people's eternity. And so we just come before you today, Lord, and we ask that you would speak. I ask, Lord, that you would speak mightily, that there would be so many conversations going on in here, Lord, but they would all be with an audience of one, each one of us, just talking to you, waiting on you, hearing from you. Direct, guide, move. Do what you want to do. And we just wait on you, Lord. In Jesus' name.